Hour two kicking off in the Fan Run Studios. Hit me with some headlines, Cam Black.
All right. Thanks, John. Ben Simmons left yesterday's game with a left knee injury. The MRI revealed no damage in his left knee per report. And then Woes just came out and said that he suffered a subluxation of the left kneecap, which is basically where the kneecap comes out of place and goes back into place. But if the MRI was clean, there was no damage with that. But he is considering treatment options and is currently out. So
what are the options? Like, I mean, what do you do if your kneecap goes out of place? Like, does it just swell up, I guess, and like then you just have to wait? Or what are the options here? See what you can find out about subluxations of kneecaps, because the Sixers, I mean, maybe it's a lost cause. Maybe they just need to pack it up and realize, like, hey, this ain't it. We're not doing anything this year. I mean, they struggled for 3.5 quarters with the Washington Wizards G League team. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, they're oof.
Like, what are we doing here, Sixers? Like, we keep waiting for you to flip the switch, and I get it's not the playoffs, but, I mean, like, we're pretty close to the damn playoffs. Like, we're pretty close.
Did you say dislocated kneecap? Is that what you said?
Kneecap subluxation. It's
the way you made it sound like it was like a form of a dislocation. I don't know. You said it like came similar. Up and came off. Came apart. What the hell happened?
The dislocation is when it stays out of place. The subluxation is it came out of place, but then it like slid back in on its own.
Okay.
Oh. So basically, like you said, it probably just really swells up and makes it really uncomfortable for a while. So I'm not sure of the natural like way to heal that, but
I had knee surgery for that.
Yeah. For a dislocated kneecap or a subluxation?
Subluxation, I guess.
Really?
Yeah, I did it about 4 times and I had to have surgery on it.
So it just kept happening after it happened the first time?
Yeah, once it happens the first time, like the tendon that holds it to your femur just gets looser and looser and it just kind of happens more.
What are the odds that we have a subluxation of a kneecap expert here on the show?
Yeah, I did it. I had to have surgery on it.
Well, maybe that's a bad sign for Ben Simmons' future there because, maybe, like you said, maybe it'll keep happening and for him.
Then you had surgery for it and it quit happening after
Yeah, it hasn't happened since, but it's also like a genetic thing, like by the grooves in your knee. Like it's sometimes easier for some people than for others to do based on how like shallow or deep your grooves in your knee are.
Yeah. Okay.
For it to come out or whatever.
Was it hereditary for you? Like did your...
My sister actually did the same thing. Okay. So she had to have surgery too.
So I don't know what the options are for Ben Simmons, but, like, again, like, at a certain point, you might just pull the plug if you're the Sixers and just say, like, we ain't got it. This ain't it for us. Like, we're not doing anything this year. I know they can't really afford to, and when you're paying Al Horford all that money and you're paying Tobias Harris all that money, you got to try to go for it as many times as possible. But it just doesn't seem like it's going to work out for them, and it's a shame because I feel like they were – the most talented team in the East coming into the year.
Yeah, they've been a mess for sure. But like we've seen Embiid plays better when Simmons isn't on the court. So maybe they'll kind of have a nice couple-game turnaround while he's out with this knee injury.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's Embiid's chance. I mean, you know, I don't think anyone argues about whose team it is. Although, like, you know, if you are Embiid, like, you don't have that sidekick now. So you're under the microscope even more.
Yep. Kind of saying in the NBA, after the Spurs lost to the Nuggets the other day where Michael Porter Jr. posted his career-high points and everything like that, Spurs coach Greg Popovich referred to Nikola Jokic as a reincarnation of Larry Bird. So he is comparing the Nuggets center to Larry Bird.
Okay. I mean...
which is a high-level coach giving some high praise. But
who was the coach that said that?
Greg Popovich.
When Greg Popovich says something like that, I don't feel like he usually just throws out compliments, you know, just all recklessly like that. But, I mean, Jokic, I don't know if I'd call him, like, Larry Bird, but, like, he does everything on the basketball court.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he can shoot. He has the same type of vision that Larry Bird had, and he can, you know, do things in the open court that you're not supposed to be able to do with, you know, without having the athleticism. Maybe that's like a big part of the comparison, right? It's like Larry Bird wasn't blowing anybody away with his athleticism. He was just so much smarter than everyone else and saw things before people, you know, other people did. And there is a little bit of that to Jokic. That's a high praise, though.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Although I do wonder if, like, Nikola Jokic even knows who the hell Larry Bird is. Like growing up in like Serbia, like do you think he knew who Larry Bird was?
That's a good question. Maybe. We'll see, though. All right. So, Steelers coach Mike Tomlin said he's not extremely confident that the NFL will make it through the season after seeing the MLB's early issues. He basically said, I don't know that I'm extremely confident. He said, given the issues the MLB has faced since its own attempt to play, I think we're all proceeding with caution and working extremely hard not to become part of that.
Well, what I'll say about this is I am extremely confident the NFL will play a season and finish the season.
Well.
I just don't I don't think they're going to pull the plug. I think they're the last league that would give up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, unless things go really south, really sideways, MLB is going to be playing and finishing their season, I believe. And mm-hmm. I think the NFL would even be even tougher to stop. Like, if baseball hasn't stopped yet, I don't want to say the worst is behind them because, you can't predict the future, but it got pretty bad pretty quickly. And yeah, I would hope that the players realized how serious this is and then stops going out and gets just, focused on finishing the season.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're still keeping an eye on people opting out. We've had nobody huge opt out really today. The Chiefs had a rookie tackle opt out, which I don't think he was going to really even play, probably. The Bucks had a tackle opt out. I hadn't heard of this guy, so I don't think he really gets any playing time either. Brad Seaton, I don't know if that name rings a bell, but he's a tackle for the Bucks. Don't think he plays, so I don't think it's going to really affect like Tom Brady or anything like that, but keeping our eye on that kind of stuff. But yeah, right now, not many more opt outs. But
we're 3 hours away from the deadline.
Yep.
Did we get an update on Tre'Davious White? Because I saw him tweeting through it last night, basically like, all these fans are calling me selfish mm-hmm. for wanting to take care of my family. And then when basically it's like, no, you guys are selfish because you want me to play and you're mad at me if I don't play. You don't care about me. Also, like, my grandmother or my girlfriend's grandfather died from COVID.
Yeah.
Now what?
Yeah.
He basically tried to mic drop the now what? Like, my girlfriend's grandfather died. How do you feel now, jerks? That's essentially what he did.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But, yeah, he hasn't – I haven't seen anything about him actually opting out, though.
Okay.
Of course, like we said, we got a little bit to the deadline. So, yeah, we'll keep an eye on that.
Okay,
so
no update there. I just saw him tweeting through, I guess, the even just getting hate for even being considering opting out.
Crazy. But the Seahawks are kind of opting out of the Jadeveon Clowney hunt. They are saying that they're kind of backing off that, and they're now kind of looking at Clay Matthews and Everson Griffin, I think it was. So they're looking at them as potential pass rushers to bring in. So and apparently a deal is supposed to be coming soon. So they are working on that, trying to get some stuff going with that. But yeah, Clowney is. I guess that's good news for the Titans fans, but kind of possibly for the options.
I think everyone's over it. I think everyone's over it. Like I want Clowney, but mm-hmm. I think you've seen the faces that Mike Vrabel has made when asked about Clowney. I think the Titans, although like if Vic Beasley doesn't show up, I mean that's a part of the deadline because as of yesterday they were still saying like, hey, we haven't heard from Vic Beasley. We don't know where Vic Beasley is. Can't get a hold of him is what John Robinson was saying. So like, if the deadline approaches and he's opting out and you can save that money, maybe you can make more of an aggressive offer for Clowney because A, you'll have more money, but B, you will have more of a demand, right? You will have more of a demand for him at that point if you'd have no pass rusher that you've added this offseason.
Absolutely. Speaking of opt-outs as well, South Carolina saw a couple of their players opt out yesterday, one of them being a starter on the offensive line. They had a guy, Jordan Rhodes and Mark Fox, both decide they're going to sit out the year. Both offensive linemen, both decide they're going to sit out the year amid the pandemic. Rhodes appeared in all 12 games with 10 starts last year at the left guard spot. So, they're losing a veteran starter on the offensive line in South Carolina. And, that's just some more college players. Not huge names like Micah Parsons or anything, but more college players kind of opting out and
I guess staying in the SEC, we we had some rumors we hinted at by Terry Wilson, quarterback of Kentucky. He acted as if he was considering opting out, but he says he's all in. So I guess there's been some players at least kicking around the idea, but a start in the SEC for South Carolina offensive lineman out. Terry Wilson, Kentucky starting quarterback, in. Stick with us. Good batch of headlines. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, update us on our NBA bubble, Cam. What we got? We got the Grizzlies losing again, dropping to 0-4.
Yeah, they are struggling at the moment. They may be dead in the water a little bit.
Another game where they had a chance to win. They were tied in the fourth quarter and then just couldn't close the deal.
Didn't have enough.
How it's happened pretty much all four games in the bubble. They've had a chance. You know, against Portland, that game ends up in overtime. Against the Spurs, they tie it before losing. The Pelicans, I want to say, it was like a 3 or 4 point game at one point in the fourth quarter. And then yesterday, tie game. And then the Jazz just got separation and pulled off.
Yep.
Grizzlies 0-4, staring 0-8 in the face. Only a one-game lead over the Blazers and a two-game lead over the Spurs and Pelicans.
Yeah, Portland plays at Denver today. The Pelicans play against Sacramento today as well at 1:30. So that one will tip off pretty early. And Phoenix plays Indiana. You know, Phoenix has been pretty good. So
yeah, no, the huge games today. I mean, the Pelicans playing basically elimination games every night as they have been hopped by a couple teams, and they're trying to hold off the Suns. Pelicans need to win tonight. They're playing the Kings. Like, this is a game that you have to win if you are New Orleans. New Orleans favored by 4.5. Like, you should come in and make a statement. Although the Kings playing for their lives too, I just think the Kings don't have as realistic of a shot without Bagley, and just the Raider season has gone.
Yeah, not at all. And stuff yesterday as well. Like, Boston blew out that makeshift Brooklyn Nets team, making the Bucks look bad. But
Boston looks good. That was a good bounce back from them after they lost to a Jimmy Butler-less Heat team that was on a back to back the day before. So good for the Celtics to take care of business and just beat the hell out of a Nets team that's just trying to get to the playoffs and then maybe reevaluate things. What do we think about the East? Because a huge matchup tonight, I guess this afternoon at 4 o'clock, Heat versus Bucks, TNT, 4 o'clock. The Heat, 2-0 against the Bucks this year.
Ooh, yeah, I mean, that's kind of, we'll see if they can keep that going. Is Jimmy Butler back for them? I don't know.
I don't know if Jimmy's back or not. See if you can find that for us, Draven, if Butler's playing today. I know that the Bucks, coming off of one bad performance against the Nets, and then, kind of a collapse against the Rockets on Sunday. So these games don't necessarily matter for the Bucks, but like the Heat, I would imagine like the idea that they're 2-0 against Milwaukee and want to keep that going. You're shaking your head yes, as Jimmy Butler is out. Jimmy Butler's
Goran
out.
Goran Dragic's point guard is questionable as well.
Goran Dragic hurt his ankle at the end of their last game, so he's questionable, and Butler's out again, okay? But, you know, we'll get to see Bam versus Giannis. Bam versus Giannis has been a good matchup all year, so that'll be fun. Ken, what do you think about the East right now in terms of getting ready for the playoffs? Bucks the one seed, running away with it, but the Raptors holding the two. The Celtics are right there. The Heat are right there. The Sixers kind of are there, but not really.
The Raptors look good. I think the Raptors are looking to try and make a statement this year, and they have looked really good so far. And I mean, I think they're going to be a real threat to come out of the East to win it.
I saw them tweeting that they haven't lost a game in like 120 days or something like that.
Jeez.
Because I guess they are undefeated in the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And then before the bubble, had won like four in a row. So they haven't lost since a trip to Denver in maybe like late February.
Dang. Yeah, they've been good. They've been good. And it's going to be super nice for them because they're going to be the opposite side of, of course, the bracket from the Bucks. So they'll get the Bucks' worst case, conference championship.
Just as they did last year where they beat them.
Yep, exactly. And, they've been, a lot of teams have been there before, so I think they're not scared of anything. And I think they are trying to prove a point this year that they can win even after losing, such a big player.
Well, they've been great the last 3 years. In terms of just, like, winning a bunch of games.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, like, when it was DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, they would run up against LeBron and couldn't get past that. against him. Then they had a similar season last year in terms of wins, and then you had Kawhi, and you were able to navigate through there and win. This year, the alpha of the team, I mean, Siakam's probably the best player, but the alpha of the team's Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry playing with a new sense of confidence. He's always been a confident person, but there's always been question marks about whether or not he could get it done. And, you know, he got it done in the finals. And I want to say in game six, he was awesome in game six, in the clinching game that won them the championship. So, you know, Kyle Lowry, not afraid of anybody, as you saw in that Lakers game. I mean, he was just busting shot after shot over the Lakers. The Raptors kind of locked into that two seed. So they're going to get a bye. You know, both the Bucks and the Raptors will get a bye in the round ones, I feel like, between Brooklyn and Orlando. Like, I think both those teams are completely outmatched. And then you know, the two seed will probably grab the Celtics, whereas the Bucks will probably grab the Heat. And then I think you're going to have a really good Final Four in the Eastern Conference. And I do think you could convince me that any of those four teams win the East.
Yeah, I will agree for sure.
The Bucks, obviously, the favorite. You don't have to convince me very much. Like, Giannis just better than everybody. Their defense better than everybody. And, you know, they hit some shots and they win. The Raptors, we know, are tested. We know they have the defense. I think they're the best coach team in the league, so you don't have to convince me there too much. And then the Celtics, maybe right now, the most talent.
Yeah.
If Kemba can be healthy and Jason Tatum can rise, you know, to, you know, get on, he's on the cusp of superstardom already almost. Like, you know, Tatum's almost at the point now where he's breaking into being a top 10 player. If he ascends in the playoffs and leads that team, like, they could 100% get to the finals. They could 100% win a championship, in my opinion. And then the Heat, you might have to take that one might be the one that you have to convince me a little bit more, simply on the fact that they'll have to get hot and shoot good from three. Like, you'll have to have Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson hitting a bunch of shots. You'll have to have Andre Iguodala, you know, hitting shots like he did for Golden State the last couple of years. And you'll have to have Jimmy Butler living up to, like, the billing of Jimmy Butler, like, you know, the legend of Jimmy Butler. Like, Jimmy Butler will have to play as good as Jimmy Butler thinks he is. If that makes sense. Like, Jimmy Butler walks around as if he's the best player in the league, and he will have to back that up and, like, be a top 10 player to take the Heat to the finals. But again, any of those four teams, I would fully believe, could win the East.
Yeah, like, I don't think the Heat have the same talent as the other two teams necessarily, but I think they work really well together. Like, they're really good on the whole team aspect. So, yeah, I think that gives them a shot as well. And, I mean, yeah, you nailed the hit the nail on the head with the other three teams. But, yeah, that's it's almost wide open there a little bit. At least a lot closer than I think people thought it was going to be.
I still think the Bucks should be the favorite. I still think the Bucks should be the favorite. But, like, if you're telling me Bucks versus the Phil in the East, like, I'm taking the Phil. Like, I think one of those four teams, or one of those three teams, excuse me, has a chance of knocking them off. Like, they're going to get tested in two series. The semifinals against the Celtics would be tough, or against the you know, who'd I say was the four seed?
Heat. The Heat are holding the four right now. They're a game up on the Pacers at the moment.
The four seed Heat against the Bucks. Like, again, the Heat 2-0 against them, and, you know, today will be fun to watch them play. And Bam Adebayo is one of the only guys in the league who is fast enough and strong enough to check Giannis. So matchup wise, you have a I don't want to call him an equal, but you have a solution, you have a alternative, you have a person who can guard him one-on-one. So I'm looking forward to the night's game, even though Jimmy Butler's not playing. Giannis and Bam still will be fun. Mm-hmm. And this Bucks team hasn't looked good lately. Do they get up for this game? They're 9-point favorites, so that'll be a question for me. What about in the West? Anything changed for you in the West?
It just looks like seedings a little bit. Super possible to be shifting a little bit. We got about three teams between four and six, all within like half a game of each other.
Yeah, four and six is up for grabs, as the Jazz, Thunder, and Rockets all sitting there, you know, 8.5, 9 games back of first place, which means they're basically tied. The Nuggets and, you know, the Nuggets are only a half game back from the Clippers, despite you know, coming to the bubble and being there shorthanded. The Nuggets have
won two in a row now.
They've took advantage of a little bit of a soft schedule, winning those two games, but they have won those two games. And, you know, you add Murray back, you add Harris back, and then you, you know, maybe if Michael Porter Jr. keeps balling, that Nuggets team, I feel like their ceiling raises a lot if they have a legitimate scoring option at the wing, an athletic freak like Michael Porter Jr., who, keep in mind, should have been the number one pick in his draft. Yeah. His injury is what took him out. He is talented enough to have been a number one pick, and you pair him alongside an All-NBA caliber player in Jokic, and that team all of a sudden, maybe you feel
dangerous,
like, has some dogs that can, you know, can compete with the Clippers in a series.
Yeah, for sure. And then, like, we saw with, like, Oklahoma City blew out the Lakers last night. The Lakers couldn't really get any shots to go down. Oklahoma City's one of those teams that's kind of like the Heat, where they don't have the best talent in their conference, but they work really well together. Chris Paul's is running a tight ship over there. Billy Donovan's kind of, you know, kind of saved his where we thought he was kind of sliding as a coach. He's looks good this year. And yeah, like I guess home court doesn't really matter. So like the 4 and 5, you know, doesn't really matter which spot you get there.
Right. 4 and 5 doesn't matter.
But yeah, like the Rockets, I'm not sure. I mean, if I'm the Rockets, I wouldn't want to play Denver first round, I don't think.
See, I think they match up pretty good with Denver. Like if I'm the Rockets, I'm not afraid of anybody. Although like If I was going to be afraid of somebody, it's going to be somebody with size. Like I would be worried about a Lakers in a series, but I think everyone's going to be afraid of the Lakers. But like, yeah. You know, Steven Adams and Gallo, a pretty big front line, a pretty athletic front line. Yeah. Like in terms of, I really wouldn't want to play the Rockets. If I'm the Rockets, I really wouldn't want to play the Thunder.
Yeah,
simply
yeah,
because the Chris Paul FU factor. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm James Harden, and Mike D'Antoni, I don't want to lose to Chris Paul.
Yeah.
And I don't want Russell Westbrook looking on the other side and seeing people from the Thunder that he wants to prove wrong and like trying to go out
trying
and dominate
take over
that series.
Himself. Yeah,
right.
That's where it goes downhill.
So if I'm the Rockets, like I would be a little afraid of playing the Thunder just for that reason. Mm-hmm. But tonight, again, great set of games. This is probably the best day so far of the bubble. You get the Pelicans as a teaser, but then like Heat Bucks, and then the two hottest teams in the bubble, the Pacers and Suns.
Yeah. Pacers, I mean, the Suns trying to sneak into that, at least the play-in.
Clippers, Mavericks could be a 2-7 first-round matchup. Blazers versus Nuggets. I told you the Nuggets are chasing the 2 seed. The Blazers chasing the 8 or 9 seed. And then you get Lakers, Rockets. So I think this is the best day so far of NBA basketball since the restart.
Yeah, this is a really good day. Really good day.
We'll see if the bubble you know, comes through today and what feels like an opening. It feels like this could be an opening round, you know, like playoff matchup. It feels like this is similar to those type of games. So we'll see just how good the bubble basketball can be. All right, stick with us. We'll switch gears. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. I don't know how much you guys are into recruiting right now, since Tennessee has kind of, you know, slowed down a little bit. Tennessee has slowed down a little bit. We're at 5 right now on 247. Like, we've been passed by Oregon and Clemson and Alabama. Ohio State still holding down the number one spot. But have you guys noticed with all what's going on in Miami? I feel like Manny Diaz has been, like, recruiting his ass off. He just landed another 5-star defensive lineman.
Oh, yeah, I saw that guy was deciding between Florida and Miami.
Yeah, Leonard Taylor just picked 5-star defensive lineman. Leonard Taylor picked Miami. Another 5-star for Miami as they add him to James Williams, a guy they had got recruited there, you know, I guess towards the end of July. So that's 2 5-stars in a good 3-week stretch for Manny Diaz. Just something to keep in mind.
Well, you got a 5-star yesterday.
We got a 5-star yesterday?
Yep.
I missed that. Who was it?
It was a kicker.
A 5-star kicker?
Yep.
Did they rank kickers as 5-stars?
Well, it's like for the Coles, like, kicking section or whatever.
Oh, so
like, it's not actually like, I don't think a kicker can get higher than like a 3-star.
Yeah,
like
I didn't think so.
Or ESPN. But like Coles is like their own rankings or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he's 5-star on there. So he's actually pretty good if you watch his videos.
55, 60, and 65 yarders.
Okay, he's hitting 55, 60, and 65 yarders in practice. That's cool. Like, is he using a tee or is it just straight off the grass? Can you tell?
Using a little bit of a tee.
Like the little holder thing.
Yeah,
Can you use that in college? You don't get to use that in college, do you?
No, unless it's like windy on a kickoff, maybe. Like if
no. I mean like a tee on the bottom. Like there's nothing.
Oh,
on the ground.
No.
Is he kicking off
the
grass? Is what I'm asking.
Yeah.
I know it wasn't. I know you don't get a holder in college.
Yeah, I was like, hell yeah.
I thought you were making like a little platform he's kicking off of. I mean, 65 is impressive. Like,
yeah, it's off the ground.
But I need to see him come and kick in college before I say anything. But I mean, like the idea of kicking being important is obviously true, right? I mean, special teams a big part of the game, so I would rather have a good kicker than not have a good kicker.
No fans is going to help that, too.
You think no fans is going to help the kicker?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, the pressure is still going
to
be there.
Well, I don't know. I feel like you'll hear more of the other team talking trash to you while you're about to kick.
You're going to hear your teammates yelling at you. Damn it, Brandon! Again? I hear this guy goes again. Because you know that has to be the feeling whenever you're like a lineman.
Mm-hmm.
And you sometimes, unless you're just completely disgusted with your guy, you'll go dap him up. You'll go give him a head pat and be like, hey, man, it's okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, you'll see that exasperated, slow turnaround like, damn it. We just drove down the field.
You have one job.
I'm out here playing, you know, 12 snaps to get us down the field. We're grinding out 4 or 5 yards a pop. And then you come on and ruin it all with one kick. Just completely ruin it all, Brandon. Damn you. Damn you to hell. And you try to act like it doesn't bother you, but your body language tells the story. So a 5-star kicker. Is this guy from Tennessee, Hayden? Or?
Yeah, he's West Tennessee All-State kicker.
Okay.
Let me find his name. Hold on.
Tennessee boy. 5-star kicker.
Okay.
I'm in. Let's go.
Woo-hoo.
Would I rather have a 5-star defensive lineman from Miami?
Maybe.
Or would I rather have just a kicker that's a 5-star? Give me the kicker every time.
JT Carver is his name.
JT Carver?
First team All-State, 2019 All-West Tennessee.
Well,
first
Jesus,
team.
I'd hope he'd be first team All-State. I mean, if he's a 5-star kicker.
Yeah, he got 3.8 GPA, so pretty smart.
I don't think that means he's smart.
Oh, well.
It means he does his work.
I mean, it means he's a high school athlete that, like, I mean, just show up and do your work in high school. I mean, 3.8 doesn't make me think he's smart, but it makes me think that he'll do his work. I'm not worried about his eligibility issues, if that's what you're getting at. Like, I feel confident that he will be academically eligible. But him having a 3.8 doesn't, you know, make me feel like he's smart. But he works. He does his job.
Mm-hmm.
So I come to you with Miami's recruiting, and you tell me that we got a 5-star kicker. But okay, give me the kicker. It's important. Important position, right?
Yeah, we're going to have somebody after Smaglia leaves.
It has been really nice to have Smaglia. Like, yeah. I will admit that. Like, after you know, there's been some stretches where we couldn't really necessarily trust our kicker. But to have Smaglia, it is nice to know that your kicker is almost automatic from anywhere under 50, right?
Yeah, kicker's one of those things that you don't really normally care about until it starts hurting the team. I mean, you're like, oh, we could have used a better kicker.
I mean, yeah, like ask Alabama. Like, yeah. I mean, like, you know, it's they have to have the least amount of confidence of any fan base ever. Like when the kicker goes out to kick, like they know he's not hitting a big kick, and it's cost them some games. But I will say, like, it's nice to go out there and feel like, you know, just to take the Ravens for example. They haven't had to worry about a kick from Justin Tucker in years. You know, if you get inside the 35-yard line or even around the 35-yard line, you've got 3 points if you don't mess up.
Yeah.
There's value in that. Tennessee, I won't say like getting around the 35, but if you get to the 25, like you can go ahead and say 3 points, in my opinion at least.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You should absolutely be able to say that. Yeah.
Jeremy Pruitt being on the other side of those Alabama games, I bet he is like, hey, we need to value this position. Like, yeah. If we're going to play these close, tightly contested games, and, you know, Jeremy Pruitt wants to play close, tightly contested games, I feel like, with his just let the defense shut people down and you just give him enough points. Like, to him, field goals are important. I don't imagine we'll ever have an offense that's just out there scoring touchdowns at will, at least for a while. We're always going to need some field goals, especially in, you know, closely contested games in the SEC. But Manny Diaz, I mean, I feel like that's a pretty big benefit for Tennessee as well. Like we need them to step their game up.
Absolutely.
We need them to become good again and start beating Florida head to head. Like if Manny Diaz isn't there and it's Mark Richt or some loser before Mark Richt, like this guy probably ends up in Florida.
Yeah, we need them in Florida State to definitely box out Florida on some of those big in-state prospects if we don't get them.
Yeah, it'd be nice, right? It'd be nice if they could, like, you know, Miami's not a threat for us right now. Like, we're, you know, none of our goals are stopped by Miami at this point. So, you know, Miami getting back is ultimately good for us again because if it wasn't for Miami, this 5-star defensive lineman would have ended up at Florida, and that means he probably would have ended up hurting your quarterback at some point or landing on your running back the wrong way and hurting him.
Yeah, that would be our luck, yeah. But, the kicker, nice.
We'll see what happens with recruiting. Like, I mean, have there been any updates about that? Have you guys seen anything about in terms of off-campus, like getting people on-campus things? Because, like, the guy who committed while we were off. We got a defensive back while we were gone that got some high praises. We we didn't even talk about him because we were gone, obviously.
Demarius McGee.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm looking at him right now, actually. I was looking at the top prospects in Florida just to see if Florida's gotten any for the 2021.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
It's number one, Alabama. Miami's got the next two. Alabama is projected to get this guy. Alabama, Miami, Tennessee, Alabama, Michigan, Alabama, Ohio State, Alabama, Tennessee, Clemson.
So currently Florida with none of the top 15 guys in their class, basically?
The highest guy they have out of Florida is number 22 in Florida.
So I like to see.
A four-star wide receiver.
That seems to be something that's going to catch up to Dan Mullen in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, whenever, if Dan Mullen eventually, like, starts headed back down a little bit and, like, the talent, you know, the talent discrepancy is gone and, like, you know, he can't, or the talent discrepancy has actually swung the other way where he can't, like, maximize his team's potential and, like, overcome being, you know, outmatched talent-wise. You're going to easily point to say, look, man, like, you've got to recruit your state. Like, here at Tennessee, yeah. We do that a little bit to our coaches, right, in terms of you need some in-state recruiting, you need some in-state recruiting. But Tennessee is one thing. Like, Florida is another. Like, you are the only successful program of the last decade outside of the Jameis Winston years. Right? And, you know, Miami had the 1 year where they were 10-0 before they lost, you know, to Pittsburgh to cost themselves a chance to play for a championship. But, like, Florida has no excuse not to be by far ahead and away, but better than both of those teams. And right now you can't even come close to protecting your own state. Like, it's Florida. It's a big state. There's a lot of schools. There's a lot of talent. Like, that's a national hotbed, so I get that, like, you're going to have to handle a lot of people coming down there. But, bro, like, you have to be able to get at least one of the top 20 guys, right?
Yeah. You should be splitting some of the top 10 if you're them.
Like, you would think, like, if you're a Florida fan, like, you're probably even not even that happy with it. But if I told you, like, hey, you'll get four of the top 20 guys, you'll say, okay, that's about the bare minimum of what we should be doing, right?
Yeah.
Four of the top 20.
Yeah, there's 43 four and five stars in Florida, and Florida has four committed of the 43.
Four of the 43?
Yeah, and they could possibly get another, but. They're 50-50 with another school. But, yeah, four of the top 43 prospects, which are four and five stars in Florida, are committed to Florida.
That seems problematic. And, again, that seems like you're easily going to be able to point to something whenever this goes sideways and say, what are you doing? Like, right now, Florida, 11th in recruiting, 11 four-stars, 12 three-stars. That doesn't seem very good for Florida.
Yeah.
Like, having an average below 90 doesn't seem very good for Florida. Where they're at right now.
Yeah, when you have all that talent in your backyard, you feel like you should be able to pull some of that in.
Well, it's not like having talent in your backyard, Cameron. Like, it's like I said, like, you're winning, too. Like, you have success. Like, you have a coach that has put people in the NFL. Like, you got Dak Prescott in the NFL. Like, there's guys from Mississippi State that he's put there. Florida's put guys there. Like, you have everything you need there. Like, Tennessee sometimes has to fight uphill because, A, like, the in-state talent hasn't been as good, and, B, like, we haven't won as often, and, C, like, you know, starting here, Jeremy Pruitt hadn't proven anything as a head coach.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, for Jeremy Pruitt's first head coaching stop, he hasn't proven anything, especially in the SEC, as a head coach. You know, you can't say that for Dan Mullen. You can't say that for Florida. Yet I look around, and they have 23 commitments and only, what'd I say, 10 four-stars? Is that what I said? The 10 or 11?
I think you said 11 four-stars 11 four-stars, 12 three-stars.
11 four-stars, 12 three-stars.
Yep.
So you only have two spots left. And right now you're sitting at number 11. Now, you know, I get that you can always process people, but that seems like something that's going to catch up to Florida. And if you're a Tennessee fan, which I assume you are if you're listening to this show, you are closing that gap, if not sending it the other way in terms of talent. And that has to get you excited. Because, as I've said all offseason, to me, this goal is about the season this year is about catching and passing Florida. And Tennessee is doing that right now.
Yeah, closing the gap for sure.
Tennessee is doing that. And Miami has to feel like they're getting some swagger too. Like, Manny Diaz coming in. Again, you know, somebody who hasn't proven anything as a head coach. Really? I mean, what'd they go last year? Did they even make a bowl game last year? I don't think they did, right? Or if they did, it was right at six wins.
I thought they went 6-6.
Okay, if they did, it was right at six wins. Maybe they did.
But I think they've got two of the top 10 players.
Yeah, I mean, they have two. They got two five-stars. They got to have two of the top 10. Diaz is recruiting his ass off right now, and that's to get you excited. Now, if I'm Florida State, I'm like, wait a second, guys. Like, what are we doing here? Like, Miami's got an ace recruiter building something. Mm-hmm. Like, I haven't seen Money Mike Norvell do anything other than, like, make his players mad. Like, if Florida State's recruiting well, I haven't seen it. Newsflash, Florida State not recruiting well. They have 14 commitments right now, four of them, four stars. 10 3-stars. So at least they got some room where they can work on it, but they're outside the top 20 right now. And they weren't a factor for this 5-star defensive lineman. He didn't even give them any mind. That would make me a little nervous if I was a Florida State fan. We'll see what Tennessee does. Hayden, are there any recruits that we're even circling around right now? Like, I know like we're still trying to, you're still worried about keeping Dylan Brooks, like, you're still worried about him and Terrence Lewis.
And Terrence
like
Lewis,
those are your two prized possessions of this class so far. You're worried about keeping them.
We're still trying to get Amarius Mims because he was supposed to announce a week or so ago.
Uh-huh.
And then he pushed his commitment back a whole month but cut Oklahoma out because he had a top six and he cut Oklahoma out. So we made the top five.
I feel like the last I read about that, we were getting kind of left behind Auburn and Georgia there, I feel like, is what I read.
Us, Auburn.
Was it Georgia?
Georgia, Alabama, and I want to say Oregon.
Yeah, but I was going to say.
I don't think we're in the running for
it. I think it's kind of circling around the top two in terms of Georgia and Auburn. The last I read about it.
Yeah.
Anybody else like on the radar coming across soon? I mean, I know there's still time, but, we just haven't had a shot in the arm lately.
No, but I had no idea that the guy from Florida that committed last week, I didn't even think he was on our radar. But
well, they had talked about him a lot on like the recruiting sites, like 247 and Rivals had talked a lot about him. And it's wild because he just had such a discrepancy. Cam, did you even see like his profile? Like he was a high 4-star on like ESPN and 247.
Yeah, he's number 91 on 247.
And then Rivals had him as like a 2-star.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did.
Where they
see
just
that.
Like didn't even like really rank him at all. What was his name again? Demarius McGee, is that who that was?
Yes.
Yeah. So like you had I believe it was it a Rivals guy say that he was his favorite player in the class or was it
It was a 247.
247 guy. Okay, that would make sense since they had him ranked. Said like this is one of my favorite guys in the class. So, Tennessee did get someone who had the coaches really excited.
Was that Steve Whipfong who said that?
Yeah, I believe it was. Yeah. I didn't know if it was him or Shannon Terry. I got confused on that. I wasn't sure.
I'm pretty sure it was Will Fong. But I'm excited to see McGee and the Rucker guy, who's also kind of underrated but has, like, a crazy offer list just like McGee. Mm. I think that –
Is he a defensive back as well?
Yeah.
See, that's the one position, like, I'm going to give this coaching staff the benefit of the doubt on. Like, if they're excited about a guy, then I'm going to get excited about them too just because they have a long track record of success between Pruitt and Anzi. Yeah. Like, they know what the hell they're doing at defensive back. Like – get all the guys they want. I'm not going to nitpick those guys. Like, I don't care if Rivals rates him a 2-star. Like, just get him in. We'll figure it out. There's your recruiting roundup. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. We've got like 1,000 bumpers in there, Hayden. How are you going to play two songs back to back, the same one twice? How are we going to do this?
I didn't think that commercial was that short, so I kind of panicked over here and just clicked the one my cursor was on.
Well,
my apologies for that.
Draven, please mark that down. There is the first mistake from Hayden for the day. You did good, though. An hour and 47 minutes, that's the first mistake, right?
Yeah.
Like, the show got started a little bit late, but that's okay. It was fine. It's like only 1.5 after the clock, and it's fine. We've come a long way. We've fallen a long way from the show starts at 12. That used to be the motto around here. We have fallen a long way from that, but it's okay. First mistake, not a bad setup. Not bad. Appreciate Twitter Big Orange Boy for sharing this. I had saw this last night. There is a connection with this kicker and Ty Simpson. So maybe Jeremy Pruitt's trying to do a little combo action here. And usually when you have to do the combo action, you maybe take a guy that's not very talented. Right, like sometimes you'll take the friend that's maybe not as good on the hopes that the really good player will come and play for you. So at least in Tennessee's situation, like they get this kicker, and he is really good friends, and in-state stud quarterback that Tennessee really wants, Ty Simpson, who many are calling the most coveted a quarterback to come out of the state of Tennessee in over a decade.
Ooh. Like a little combo action.
I believe they go to school together over in Westview. Is that where you said he went to high school at, the kicker?
Yes.
That's where Ty Simpson goes as well. So they're boys. So maybe Tennessee doing a little combo recruiting here. Let's pump, give the kicker a scholarship for all I care. I don't give a damn. Give him a scholarship. Give it to him. If he wants to have a scholarship and feel important, yeah, I know he got a preferred walk-on spot, which what's the difference between the preferred walk-on and the walk-on? Is there any
it's
like
literally
money?
Like we asked you to come here.
Right, but there's no like money difference, right? Like,
no.
It's basically like we want you. You basically have a roster spot.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. Is like
you'll get the practice and be with like the main team. Yeah. Like, some of the walk-ons do a little bit of different stuff sometimes. But yeah.
You're not going to be scout team. We're not going to beat the hell out of you. Like, you're not just there to like help give us extra bodies to beat up. Like, you are on the team. Mm. You have a roster spot. We're just not going to use a scholarship for you.
Yeah,
but like usually if you come here as a preferred walk-on and you actually play, they'll find a scholarship for you after somebody transfers in a year or two. So, like, hey, kicker. I mean, maybe this ain't the right class to do it on just because Tennessee, filling up scholarship spots.
Yeah.
Because the kicker's this class, right, Hayden?
21, yeah.
Yeah,
so
and Ty Simpson's 22. So, so we get here a little bit early. Maybe by the time Simpson gets here, he'll already have a scholarship spot ready for him. So, a little combo recruiting.
Oh, yeah.
I hate talking about recruiting. I hate talking about recruiting. We're at a weird spot where it feels like sports are going on, but like football still hasn't happened, so like there's no football to really talk about.
Yeah, unfortunately.
So like sports are here, but they're not, type of thing. We know they're here. I can give you more basketball talk, but I know you guys don't want more basketball talk.
We got some news. You see the bad news for that game tonight? The Rockets-Lakers?
Oh, no.
LeBron James is resting. So,
okay. That's all right. They've earned that. They didn't look good yesterday. So, I mean, like, you could tell that the Lakers had the one-seed blues, right, where they went out, they wrapped up the one seed, and then next thing you know, they get beat by 20 points by the Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you could tell they were, like, you know, feeling themselves after getting the one seed. So, you're on a back-to-back. I'm not playing Anthony Davis either if I'm Frank Vogel.
He's probable is what I saw, but LeBron James is resting a sore groin, apparently.
You can call it that if you want. I say he's resting because they don't want to make him play a back-to-back in a meaningless game.
Yeah, that's just got to make it sound good.
And didn't the Rockets beat the Lakers? Didn't the Rockets beat the Lakers when they played right after the Rockets went to small ball? Whenever they said we don't want to sit out.
I do remember.
So maybe if you're the Lakers, like, you don't want to play LeBron this game just because you don't want to deal with a second loss to them. You don't want to give the Rockets even more confidence if they go all out and try to beat you. Maybe there's some mind games here of like, yeah, we're not even going to risk it. We don't want this. We don't want these problems. But again, you get the one seed. You get the one seed blues. You party a little bit. You celebrate. You pour beer on each other. You talk about an accomplishment, and then you rest the next day after you get beat by 20 points. Does that take a lot of the excitement away from you, I guess? Because that was a game that we were looking forward to, and now we won't have LeBron there. And LeBron, obviously, the biggest part of the Lakers' success.
Yeah, I think it'll still be entertaining, but that would kind of hurt it for like if you get a casual fan who's like, oh, Rockets Lakers, that sounds like a good game. You're like, oh, well, LeBron's not playing. That would kind of, I think, dull it down for some of those kind of people, but, there's those people that watch just because of LeBron. So,
if I'm a Lakers fan or if I'm a basketball fan, like, I kind of just want to see Anthony Davis run the team.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's value in that. Like, Anthony Davis is going to have to be really, really good for the Lakers to have a chance because, you know, when the Lakers win, that roster looks good, right?
Yeah.
But when the Lakers lose, you all of a sudden start looking around, you're like, man, this team isn't very good. You know what I mean? Like, yesterday I found myself like, we're really out here relying on J.R. Smith and Deion Waiters. Like, Waiters can get to the rim, but like, are we really relying on him and Caruso? And like, is Dwight Howard really going to carry a championship team's bench? Like, what, JaVale McGee's your starting center? You start looking around, that roster feels a lot worse when Danny Green's not hitting shots.
Yeah, absolutely. And Deion Waiters has never seen a shot he hasn't liked. So
Deion Waiters is going to have to play good for them to win a championship, too. Like, he's going to have to be their bench punch. Yeah, he's going to have to come in and score 10 points a game.
Exactly. But we'll see. It's weird. Like, the last game, Anthony Davis kind of seemed like he almost, like, disappeared. Like, if you look at his shot comparison to that game and the game beforehand. He took like 10 shots in the first quarter, the one they won, and then I think.
Well, it's the same thing. It's the same thing he did game two against. Who they lose to after they beat the Clippers? They ended up they turned around and lost to the Raptors. Like he just kind of. I don't want to deal with Siakam and Marc Gasol. That's kind of what Anthony Davis did last night. He's like, Steven Adams? Nah, bro. I'm not going out here and banging with him.
Exactly.
I'm not letting Steven Adams foul me. Forget that. No thanks. But tonight he'll be, you know, if I'm him, I am looking and I'm saying, no LeBron and the Rockets don't play anybody over 6'7", 6'8".
Yep.
Like Jeff Green's guarding me on the post? Cool. Like I'm going to go out and I'm going to get 40 and remind everybody of how good I am. That's what these type of games should be for Anthony Davis. Because, again, he is going to have to be elite. He is going to have to remind everybody he's a top five, top seven type of player for them to win the championship. Because when you look at the Lakers versus the Clippers, which is what everyone has circled, right? When you look at Lakers versus Clippers, you know who they can't guard? They can't guard Anthony Davis. You can throw Kawhi and Paul George at LeBron James and bother him. You can't throw Kawhi Leonard and Paul George at Anthony Davis. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, that doesn't work. Anthony Davis is taller and more athletic than everybody. So if they're going to beat the Clippers, he's going to have to come out and score 30 points a game and be taller and be better than everybody.
Yeah, he's got to take advantage of that matchup. I mean, like you said, there isn't nobody that can handle him on that team right now.
Well, do you have confidence in him being able to do that? And Anthony Davis being able to flip that switch? Because, I mean, there's been times in New Orleans when he was there that he could, you know, play those games. And he carried the Pelicans to the second round by dismantling the Blazers that year after Boogie went down. So he has it in him.
Yeah, I'd say yes, but yeah, I also would in the back of my mind be kind of worried he's going to give you one of those games where he also kind of disappears. So I would still say yes. Like I think if they had if it was a series between Lakers and Rockets, I'm still going Lakers on that one just because I think
what about Lakers Clippers? I don't think the Lakers are looking at the Rockets worried about them. Like we'll take them seriously, but I think in LA they're looking at each other and just saying we're eventually going to get our way. We're eventually going to find each other.
I personally like the Clippers.
Okay.
See,
I think if Anthony Davis plays great, I think the Lakers will handle the Clippers pretty easily. Or not, I won't say easily, but they'll beat them. But if he doesn't, if he's just average or just even good, then I think the Clippers will win.
I would agree with that. I mean, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all if the Lakers beat the Clippers, but I'm going to give the Clippers the edge at the moment. I don't know. I thought they were right there last game they played, but missing like Lou Williams and stuff, I think gives them that extra kind of punch they need off the bench.
Yeah, I saw people saying that, but if I'm the Lakers, I want Lou Williams out there in crunch time. Because when they played that third game, the Lakers' first win, like they just said, okay, Lou Williams, whoever you're guarding, come set a screen on LeBron, and then we're gonna get LeBron switched on Lou Williams, and he is going to drive to the rim and score or get fouled every time. So if I'm the Lakers, I'm like, yeah, please bring Lou Williams on. Like, bring him on the court, because we will find him and assassinate him defensively. All right, hour two in the books. We'll kick off hour three with headlines. We got some this or that coming. Me and Cam will try our hands at that. Stick with us. This is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.